From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A lot to rejoice about. And one of the things we're rejoicing about is we have George Bagley joining us on the program. George is the NorCal Chapter Vocations Chairman for the Knights of Columbus. George, good day to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing just fine. Just fine. Good to hear your voice. One of these days, we'll see you in person again, I hope.
Yes, it's been a couple of years. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, indeed. Has it really? That's just amazing. That's right. The vocations dinner was canceled last year.
Right. Yeah, we were, unfortunately, we had done all the planning for it, and the bishop decided that it's not going to fly. So right around this time, April or so, we were notified that we would not be holding. It was supposed to be on June 20th.
Right. So. Right.
That wasn't going to happen.
Well, and, you know, I know the thing, you know, people say, well, why don't you wait until summer and see how things are? Events like this, they're a big deal. You can't plan them overnight. They take a lot of planning, a lot of prep, a lot of publicity, get the word out. You can't just at the last minute decide to do it.
That's correct. That's right. And this year... we're fortunate in that the Council 953 in Sacramento, they're in the greater Sacramento area, the Knights of Columbus Council, they will sponsor it as they were going to last year. So the groundwork has already been laid, so that makes it a little easier. Now we're just hoping that by come July 31st, which is the date of the dinner, that we will be in the 50% range where we can allow at least 50% of the allowed attendance in the hall at St. Mary's.
Well, there've been a few blips on the radar, but for the most part, the transmission rate is down dramatically from where it was, say, 4 months ago in California.
Yes, and that's why we're somewhat encouraged, because July 31st, we still have actually 3 months away.
Right.
Almost about 3 months away, and we're just hoping and praying that, that we can do this.
Well, I'm sure the good Lord is listening to these prayers, because he attends every year as well, wherever two or more of you are gathered in my name. And boy, there's usually it's packed. And yeah, this year probably be 50%. Maybe by July it'd be 70%, 75%. Who knows?
Father Davey is the pastor of St. Mary's there. Mm-hmm. He's been. I kind of tiptoed around the idea of asking him to, if we could project, because as you know, right now it's only 25% allowed.
Right, right.
And Father was very, very kind and very gracious enough to say, well, let's go for it. Let's see what happens. And so, we'll see what happens.
It gives us something to pray for.
Right. And if 300 would be nice, but 150 would certainly be very nice. If we could get 150 people, that would be very, very nice.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because this event, now this is the 8th annual, moves around every year, which I just think is just a great idea to get people in different parts of the diocese, a chance to come. And although some people travel pretty good distances to come, we've had it all the way up in Placerville, all the way over in Vallejo, West Sacramento, Vacaville. I know I'm leaving somebody out, but there have been a number of great, great venues. So I think Good Shepherd. I think we had a Good Shepherd one time, too, down in Elk Grove.
Well, I think the good thing is that, as you know, the Knights really stand behind our priests and our seminarians. We contribute regularly. We have a program in the Knights of Columbus that is specifically for contributions to the seminarians. And so usually it's easy to fill, because that's what we like to do. We like to back our priests and our religious, our sisters as well.
Yeah, and this is for our sisters as well, and a special invitation to altar servers to come to this.
That's right. My wife pointed out, she made a very good observation, that the trouble is this year, we've had no altar servers, you know, for the past
right.
year.
Right.
It's like, where are they at?
Yeah.
We have to talk to our councils and ask them to search out the parish and see if there's any young men or young women that are so inclined to, toward the religious life.
Yeah, I think in past years, sometimes we've had a pretty good turnout of altar servers at the dinner.
Really nice. Yeah, last year, which I think, you know, we had several people last year, but I thought for the size, we had over 250 people, and there were 37 young people that were altar servers that lined up to receive a very nice certificate from the bishop.
Yes, I remember. Reading their names and then handing the certificate to the bishop. And they came up and they just, you know, they had stars in their eyes. They were just so happy to see the bishop.
He was the main attraction. They, you know, they really look forward to seeing the bishop, that's for sure. Well, he's so great. When he goes to the confirmations, I'm with the honor guard also with the fourth degree in the Knights, and we usually accompany the bishop into the confirmations. And we're standing in the back of the church or in the Northex. And the bishop, he's just talking away, social. He just talks to all the young people. He goes up and talks to them like he's known them forever.
Yeah.
So they really like the bishop a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, he just relates so well. You know, he grew up in Orange County, a large mm-hmm. family. Went to St. Polycarp Elementary School. Went to Modern Day. Became a priest in the Diocese of Orange, became a bishop in the Diocese of Orange, and then one day God blessed us and brought him up here in 2007. And he relates so well. I think he's a great family man because he came out of a great family, and he can relate to these kids.
Yeah, and another neat thing was 2 years ago, the last one we had at St. Joseph's in Brackenville, the bishop was scheduled to come from 4 to 6. You know, drop in, say hello to everyone,
right,
have
right.
a dinner, maybe make a few remarks. Well, if you remember, Bob, I think he stayed until 8 o'clock.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly,
he had a great time. You know, he just enjoyed it.
That's exactly right. I usually bring one of my young daughters, teenage daughters, with me to this event. Mm-hmm. I remember probably 3 years ago at St. Patrick's in Placerville.
Okay.
And I called up there and found that they had I believe it was a 4 p.m. Saturday, you know, late afternoon vigil mass. And so I said, well, let's go up there early and go to mass on Saturday before the event. And so there we are in St. Patrick's, and one of the side doors to the church was open. It was pretty warm, and one of the side doors was open, and pretty soon I said to my daughter, I said, is there incense in here or what? I'm seeing smoke, you know. And I thought, is a church on fire? And, you know, I kept seeing smoke. And then the next thing you know, this was pretty good smelling smoke. And I don't mean incense. I mean tri-tip.
Right.
And we kept smelling it and smelling it. The Knights were right outside that open door barbecuing the tri-tip. It was quite the experience, George.
Well, we have this year, last time, and then also this year, speaking of the dinner, we have Buckhorn Restaurant.
Can't do better than that.
We call them the official caterer of the Knights of Columbus.
No, that's great.
We have a great relationship with them. One of the first times that we used Buckhorn, it was in Vacaville mm-hmm. for one of our state officers had an installation. He was from Vacaville, and at St. Mary's Church in mm-hmm. Vacaville, one of the lectors he's the owner of the Vacaville Buckhorn.
Oh, okay. Wow. Now, is that related to the original in Winters?
From what I've heard, I'm probably wrong. Now we're going on the air here. Probably someone will correct me. But
yeah.
We're like 11 owners, and he was like one of them.
Okay.
France, the main headquarters was Winters.
Right.
And anyhow, he would always give us he gave us a great discount, you know, because being a Knight and knowing the people at the parish. And
yeah.
So we've since then, and this has been over 5 years now, since then, Buckhorn has gone down to our dances and our events in Vallejo, up was making the reservation this year, they had given us a higher price, much higher price for the regular. They have a really, as you know, they have a really packed dinner. I mean, they give you chicken.
Everything, yeah.
They give you everything, really, and salad, the bread, everything, really nice meal. And it's a pretty, well, I wouldn't say too steep of a price, but I asked, I said, well, can we get the night's discount? And the price, I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, it's still a little steep. So I go on my day, and I get a call about 4 or 5 hours later from the Midtown Buckhorn.
Mm-hmm.
And Monica says, you know, we talked it over with the owners, and you've done so much for our business, you know, calling on us all the time. We're going to give you, and they gave us a really low.
You
would not be able to find that price.
That's wonderful. I remember when we had this event in Vallejo at St. Basil, the Buckhorn was there. They came all the way down there.
And they go, like I said, they've even gone to Napa, you know. Wow. And up to I think they have 3 or 4 locations now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The Buckhorn.
You know, you're making people at home salivate, and I'll tell you, it's the hardest choice is, you know, because it's the most places they say, do you want this or do you want that? Well, the way they usually do it, it's a buffet, and you get both. You don't have to choose between chicken and tri-tips. You get them both.
My wife is not really a meat person, but boy, she loves those garlic mashed potatoes and the roasted vegetables.
Yep.
You know, so there's a little bit for everyone.
That's worth the price of admission right there.
Right. This meal. I think people know that, you know, and also, Bob, I'm thinking, you know, what with the COVID in the wane, possibly, I think people are really anxious to get out if they can possibly.
Yep.
So it might be a good event for everyone.
You know, I know, you know, my wife and I are both vaccinated now, and we mm-hmm. we looked at each other and said, well, let's go find a restaurant where we can sit outdoors, and let's mm-hmm. just enjoy a meal together that we haven't. I mean, we've had we've had great moments in the last 13 or 14 months. We didn't just throw our hands up, but to actually go out to dinner and sit there and feel comfortable, and you know, and this is the kind of event that people have been longing for. I know a lot of events have been virtual, and God bless all the people that have put those together, because man, the live events are a lot of work, but boy, the virtual ones are they're tremendous amount of planning, because you got to tape everybody and or record them and all that. And then you got to hope and pray that everybody has connectivity on the night of the event. You know, it's difficult. And there's the real problem with the Zoom virtual banquets, no food.
Right. And I think I mentioned to you earlier that had there was absolutely no way that we could do this, we were going to ask you to be our bingo caller.
Right.
You know, we're jumping at the chance to get the 50%. You know, we're really going for that, because people really want to get out and see each other, you know.
Well, I'm very, very optimistic. It's 3 months away, and I'm very optimistic. And It is Saturday, July the 31st, the 8th Annual Vocations Benefit Dinner. You'll get to meet all our diocesan seminarians, and that too is worth the price of admission. Bishop Soto never misses this event, and as you said, George relates so well to our seminarians and to the whole audience, of course. And tickets are $45, $250 for a table of six, so you get a little bit of a discount there. And go ahead.
Sure. I was just going to say, we used to do a table of eight, but we've had to space it out a little bit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right.
So what's the best way for people can they make a reservation for a ticket already?
Yes, if they want to. Now, of course, people in the Knights of Columbus are sending it out to all the councils, the flyer, and all the information. However, anyone is so welcome to come, and they can, on the flyer, and maybe you could give that, Bob, they can call me, and I can give them all the details. 707-372-4913.
Give that one more time, George.
Sure. 707-372-4913.
Very good. 372-4913. And the program starts with a social hour at 4. You don't have to be there right at 4, but there's a nice social hour. And dinner will start at 5 with the program at 6. And you'll be home, in time to watch the news.
Well, if the bishop is having a great time, it might be a little bit longer.
That's right. That's right.
We thought that he'd be gone by, 7 o'clock at the latest. He had such a great time. And then they started singing, what is their favorite song that they sing?
Regina. Oh.
Yeah.
Salve Regina. Yeah. Oh, man. You move to tears when you see that.
Just gonna say, I was moved to tears, and one of the reasons too is that the some of the priests that had come along from the different parishes that were in the audience, the ones that were lucky enough to get off on a Saturday night, they were there, and there were a few religious and some other religious sisters. They came up behind the bishop and started singing with him, and it was just fantastic.
Very, very, very moving. Yeah. Well, George, thanks so much for all you're doing here, and I know it's going to be a great, great event. Again, July 31st, Saturday, St. Mary Parish, right here in Sacramento. I think this might be the first time we've actually had it right in the city of Sacramento.
Yeah, it's on 58th Street, right, not too far from Sacramento State.
Very close to Sacramento State. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I think Francis High School is real close to there, too.
Well, George, we will we'll look forward to seeing you in person soon, and we'll have you back on the program certainly as this event, this grand event, draws closer.
Thank you. I would really appreciate that. I'll get with you, and maybe we can come on a little bit later.
I think we should probably maybe meet at the Buckhorn and just test the food.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Maybe we make an official visit.
An official visit, exactly. Hey, thanks, George. God bless.
You're very welcome. Thank you, and God bless everyone.
Yes, indeed. That's George Bagley, who's one of the chairmen of this event, and is also the chapter vocations chair for the Knights of Columbus here in Northern California. We'll take a quick break, back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento, who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
Hi, I'm John McGinnis, retired sheriff of Sacramento County, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Sheriff. Appreciate you taking the time to give us an introduction like that. Sheriff McGinnis, I heard him speak at the Bishop Gago's maternity home dinner few years ago. He was the keynote speaker and was just knocked everybody's socks off. So a great man here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, the Holy Father has declared that May to dedicate the month of May to a global rosary marathon for the end of COVID-19. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that later on, but I think it's a great idea. The Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization said April 21 that for the deep desire of the Holy Father, the month of May will be dedicated to a prayer marathon with the theme "Prayer to God Went Up Incessantly from the Whole Church." Well, we are pleased and honored to welcome in Brian Kromholtz, who is the Academic Dean. And, Father Brian Kromholtz, the Academic Dean and Professor of Theology at the Dominican School of Philosophy and Theology in the great city of Berkeley. Father, good day to you.
Good day to you. God bless you, and God bless all of your listeners now and later.
Can we fit all of that, your title, onto a business card?
I'm not sure how much of that goes on the business card. the card says, Academic Dean and Professor of Theology, or the other way around,
yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
Wow. So tell us first off about the Dominican School of Philosophy and Theology in Berkeley. Do they have a football team?
We have some pretty tough people.
Okay,
but,
good.
But we have a football team. Dominican School is a small school. We've been in the area here since the 30s.
Right.
But as a member of the Graduate Theological Union, we've only been a member of the union since the early 60s. We were actually the first Catholic school to be invited to be part of that union, and we actually moved the campus up to Berkeley to be part of that. Our house of studies is down here. The Dominican Order's house of studies for this province is down here in Oakland, which is where I am speaking to you from. The school is a school of philosophy and theology. So in the title, we're deliberate about that. Whereas the rest of that union focuses on theology, we have both, and that's actually part of our mission is showing the interrelationship between philosophy and theology. So that carries into the way we focus on things in philosophy. It's not that we mix the methods, but the questions you ask are a bit different if you have if you have a faith, for example, and yet the method of philosophy doesn't call for dependence on faith. It calls on reason.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in theology, you need philosophical outlook. You need to think about the faith, and in order to do that, you at least have to have an implicit philosophy. And if you don't have an explicit philosophy, what's going to happen is you're going to end up with an implicit philosophy. It's going to smuggle in a lot of ideas that you may not have reflected on. So we think both philosophy and theology are nurtured and helped by
by an interrelationship without mixing them, as it were. That's helpful, kind of the big picture.
So we all think we know what philosophy means, but how do you define philosophy? What does it really mean?
Well, philosophy is, I think, a disciplined inquiry into the truth, is mm-hmm. what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that as somebody who has a bachelor's degree in philosophy. But I do think about it a lot and have to in order to think about theology. So that's a kind of short answer.
And how would you define theology?
A disciplined reflection on God.
Just on God.
Mm-hmm. And on how God has revealed himself, and on saving truth, especially that he has revealed, but not limited to that. So, God and things as referred to God.
And you see the two as integrated, though, philosophy and theology.
They are, but distinct.
Correct.
They're distinct, yeah. But there's a kind of interrelationship that each is nourished by the other. Put it that way. I think you can. There's a kind of asymmetry, though, of course, because you can be a philosopher without being a theologian.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain questions you may not end up asking. But you can't really be a theologian without being some kind of philosopher, at least implicitly.
I think that makes good sense. So who makes up your student body?
Our student body is roughly divided between religious and laity. Most of the religious are the Dominican Student Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They're studying for the priesthood for the Dominican Order, the Order of Preachers, the friars, that is, and then laity who are either studying for purposes of preparing themselves to eventually apply to a doctoral program, or laity who, and this would probably be a slightly larger group, who would be preparing for doing something like teaching or other careers where they may want theological education.
And how big a group is this?
Well, we speak in terms of full-time equivalent, but I'll speak in terms of just persons. I'm not going to begin to get kind of into the weeds of administrative stuff. We'll just talk about, we're talking about, it varies between 65 and 75 persons. Some of those are part-time, especially the laity. But actually most of our lay students are full-time students also, and increasingly so.
Do you have residential at all?
In a sense we're almost, before the pandemic, we were all residential
sure.
in the technical sense of at least we have to come live in order to attend classes and get your degree. We of course had to pivot to an all remote approach in the last 13 months or so. We've been all in person, and then we went all remote. But we're launching this hybrid program, of course, with the Sacramento Diocese, the Master of Arts in Theology for Ecclesial Mission. And so we've had the kind of happy accident of having this experience of giving instruction remotely. I say a happy accident because we've been planning this mostly remote program for the diocese for over a year. It's been about 2 years really in the planning.
So it was planned to be remote.
That's right. Yeah, mostly remote.
Mostly, yeah.
Hybrid,
yeah.
mostly remote, yeah.
Explain that program a little bit.
So it's a program for the laity to form laity for co-responsibility for the apostolate, co-responsibility with the clergy. Now, that doesn't mean we're calling for a kind of usurping of the role of the clergy or anything like that. No, it's about preparing the laity for their role in the church and in the mission of the church. But the laity, you know, since Vatican II, there's certainly been a wonderful explosion of different ways in which laity contribute to the mission of the church. But unfortunately, not as great an explosion in terms of development of intensive and extensive theology for the laity, I would say. Yes, more and more laity have theological training and pastoral training, but our program is designed to give a kind of comprehensive theological formation to the laity that would allow them to be conversant with the clergy and have a depth of theological background in order to bring that to whatever ministry they are called to. It's designed for catechists, those who teach catechists and catechists themselves, also adult faith formation directors, mm-hmm. directors of religious education, also pastoral administrators, let's say music ministry directors, those who would be involved deeply in apostolate or ministry in the church, but who need a kind of deep theological formation. So that's what it's designed to do.
And how long is the program?
It's a four-year program. It's a part-time program. For the most part, it would call for a kind of once-a-week meeting, synchronous meeting, if you will, live meeting with an instructor and the group. That's during the sort of traditional school year. But then there would be a summer period, a week-long intensive meeting, and we would start out that way so that the group would start together. And
that would be in person, the summer?
That would probably be in person, mm-hmm. that week-long intensive. It would be followed up with some remote meetings. So basically it's designed precisely for a person who's employed, who can't move to the Bay Area for whatever reason. There can be a lot of reasons for that. One would be employment. Another one, the high cost of living here.
Right.
If you were able to do the move. So we've devised this program so that there's this in-person intensive to kind of establish the working relationships, in person. Because mm-hmm. there is something lost when you're doing everything online. There are some students that we have that I've met only on computer, and there's something missing there, and there's a lot of this remote education works well for a lot of things, but for building relationships, establishing them, it leaves some things to be desired.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
We're mixing in this hybrid approach with the intensive period, and then one time each semester getting together for a day long intensive. That's how we've conceived.
I guess it's the students who will look forward to the summer. Yeah.
I think so. I mean, and it's not just study. I mean, there'll be plenty of that. But it gets called intensive for a reason. But also prayer and some social time as well. You know, that's important for everyone to get to know one another and the professors as well.
Wow. So have you already signed up your first class?
We have some. We have a good number interested. We are looking for some more, just a few more.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody out there listening, either themselves or may know of someone. someone who may be interested, please do refer them to us, to me, to our admissions, to Dominican School of Philosophy and Theology, dsbt.edu/MATHEM, or just the dsbt.edu, and look for the academic programs. You look for the Master of Arts in Theology for Ecclesial Mission, and we'll get you connected. And there's a lot of information, of course, on the website.
Are there prerequisites for these folks?
Yeah, there are. You do have to have a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. It does not have to be a bachelor's degree in theology, but you have to have a bachelor's. You have to be prepared for graduate work, so there's some serious reading, study, and writing. You have to have writing skills. You have to have English skills. This is at this point, it's an English language based program. And of course, a somewhat of a sense of a direction where you are called, or where you're working in the diocese, mm-hmm. with a particular kind of work, or at least a direction. So, yeah, those would be the chief prerequisites.
So a lot of it, very similar to being in graduate school in a different field, in terms of the rigor.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yes, with a kind of emphasis on I would say thinking about application. So while it's largely it's a comprehensive theological formation, as I say. It's not a filled with a lot of simply how to do X or Y. There's reflection on the history of theology, and certainly an emphasis on say Thomas Aquinas's theology and Thomas Aquinas as a kind of structure for the whole. There's also an opportunity for reflection on different pastoral efforts. That comes during the latter couple of years in the program, when we call for the students to do a kind of theological analysis of something in their chosen field, especially if they can possibly connect that with their own work that they're currently involved mm-hmm. in.
Tell us a little bit, Father, about the faculty there.
The faculty, we have a good number of Dominican friars on the faculty, so mostly Dominican friars, sort of roughly equally divided between theology faculty and philosophy faculty, and mm-hmm. some who teach in both. We have faculty in systematic theology and moral theology and scripture, then also in philosophy, those who specialize in kind of a modern period, or of course all of them have some knowledge of Thomistic philosophy, of course, but mm-hmm. others more conversant in contemporary philosophy, phenomenology, and continental philosophy. We have a religious sister. We have a couple of lay professors, a lay woman, a layman, one Salesian, Don mm-hmm. Bosco. And there are, there are 12 of us that aren't to count, if I've got that right.
What do we mean by systemic theology?
Systematic theology.
Systematic theology.
Well, it's that's a reflection on how the faith all fits together. So it's used as a kind of shorthand for a kind of combination of dogmatic theology and fundamental theology.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, fundamental theology, where you're looking at kind of the conditions that make theology possible, and then dogmatic theology were the content of what's been revealed, if you will. And so systematic theology is, yeah, kind of reflection on the consistency of theology. I mean, when you study scripture, you know, it's all about it's all about finding, you know, what's been revealed in all these texts, and there's this wonderful inexhaustible meaning that is there. And in certain ways of looking at it, it looks like how does this all fit together?
Mm-hmm.
Systematic theology, you try to figure out how it all fits together. And if you want a kind of simple way of thinking about the systematic theology, you could think of the way the catechism is put together.
Mm-hmm.
The part on the creed,
right,
would be a kind of systematic approach.
Mm-hmm.
to the faith. What do we believe, and how do we kind of organize that and think of how it all fits together? That would be a kind of shorthand way of thinking about systematic.
Of course, I'm very fond of the Bible, but I'll tell you, the Catechism is very frequently my go-to book. It's laid out so beautifully and so. The word "simple" isn't fair, but it's very practical. It's very understandable. My 7-year-old granddaughter could probably understand a lot of the way the catechism is written because it's so straightforward.
That's right. Yeah. Think of that. There's an old Apple Corporation motto: "Easy is hard."
Uh-huh,
you know,
it's
hard to make something that's easy to use. And in that respect, you're right. It's really just kind of lays things out for you in a very, very orderly way.
Yeah, and wonderful scriptural references, and
exactly.
Yeah, just
I mean, I still refer to it. I mean, if I'm preaching about something, I'm gonna think, gee, where in scripture does it talk about X? You know,
right.
I look at the catechism.
Yeah, and we didn't just make this up one day. Here's the site for you, you know.
Right.
I really, really liked it. Well, Father, it's such a pleasure to talk with you. And I know you're going to get some great students from this area. And I hope you have a great, great, academic pursuit for all these wonderful new students.
All right. Thank you very much, and God bless you and all of your efforts. Hope we can do this again sometime.
I'd love to. I would absolutely relish the opportunity to talk again.
All right. Tremendous. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Father. God bless you, too.
All right.
Appreciate it. That's Father Brian Kromholtz, who is the academic dean and professor of theology at the Dominican School of Philosophy and Theology in Berkeley. And they have a program with the Diocese of Sacramento, a master's degree program, a 4-year program designed for people who are working. You know, they're not going to overwork you. You're not going to have to drop everything and go to school full time. But it is intensive and rigorous, but will suit you very, very well, I'm sure. Now, the Vatican, as I mentioned earlier, the Vatican has dedicated the month of May to a global rosary marathon. That's their word, marathon, for the end of COVID-19. No, you don't have to pray the rosary while you're running a marathon. Oh, some people do that. The Vatican has announced a rosary initiative dedicating the month of May to prayer for an end to the coronavirus pandemic. This is from the Vatican. The Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization said that for the deep desire of the Holy Father, the month of May will be dedicated to a prayer marathon with the theme, "Prayer to God," went up incessantly from the whole church. The council said that the world's Catholic shrines would be involved in a special way as promoters of the rosary among Catholic individuals, families, and communities. 30 of the shrines will take turns leading a daily live-streamed rosary at noon Eastern time, so 9 a.m. here in the Diocese of Sacramento, as big as our diocese is, we're all in the same Pacific time zone. So 9 a.m., boy, when you have that rosary in your hand, you have one of the most powerful weapons there is on earth, period. The Catholic Church dedicates the month of May to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Pope Francis will open the month of prayer on May 1, asking for Mary's intercession. Pope Francis spoke about the coronavirus and its economic effects in a video message to participants in the 27th Ibero-American Summit in Andorra on April the 21st. The COVID-19 pandemic, he said, has demanded enormous sacrifices from each nation and its citizens. The crisis has called on the entire international community to commit, united, with a spirit of responsibility and fraternity, to face the many challenges already in action and those which will come. The Pope said that he had prayed for the millions of people who have died from COVID-19 or who are suffering from the illness, as well as their families. Quote, the pandemic has made no distinctions and has hit people of all cultures, creeds, social, and economic strata. He emphasized the importance, he said, of considering anti-COVID vaccination as a universal common good. The Pope himself has said that. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has said that. The California Catholic Conference, representing all the bishops of California, has said that. And our own bishop, Bishop Soto, has said that, vaccination is a universal common good. The Pope added, in this area, initiatives that seek to create new forms of solidarity at the international level are particularly welcome, with mechanisms aimed at guaranteeing an equitable distribution of vaccines, not based on purely economic criteria, but taking into account the needs of all, especially those of the most vulnerable and needy. We're seeing a lot of debates about this at this very minute, about does the U.S. have excess vaccine, and if it does, or even if it doesn't, should it be shared with the world, with those who really need it? You see the terrible crisis, an explosion of the coronavirus in India has been in the news greatly recently. The Pope added, it is urgent to consider a recovery model capable of generating new, more inclusive, and sustainable solutions aimed at the universal common good, fulfilling God's promise for all men. He added that in responding to the coronavirus, attention should be paid to reforming the international debt structure and allowing access to external financing to promote economic development so that everyone can get out of the current situation with the best chance of recovery. The Pope concluded, none of this will be possible without a strong political will that has the courage to decide to change things, mainly priorities, so that it is not the poor who pay the highest cost for these tragedies that are hitting our human family. Those are the words of the Holy Father in declaring the month of May a global rosary marathon for the end to COVID-19. Again, with the theme of that our prayer to God went up incessantly from the whole church. So get your rosaries out, and we will give you more details as this goes along. But I like the notion of it being live streamed from different shrines around the world at 9 a.m. our time, virtually every day, I presume. So daily. So we will check that out and get you the proper information for that. I think a wonderful declaration by the Holy Father. So, yes,
Gabe. Hello. I just wanted to come in and remind everybody. If you're not following us already on the subscriptions to the podcast, you should do so. It's in your best interest.
Yes.
As a listener, to listen to us, because we're not always able to be heard on our relevant spot at 9 p.m. on Relevant Radio.
You can, but sometimes they're doing a pledge drive.
Right, which next week they'll be doing their pledge drive.
And we will still have our shows on the podcast.
Yes, we will. We'll still have our podcast shows. We may replay a couple of them on the next week when they're back live, but you may miss something too, and you don't want to miss anything important because, you know, everything we talk about is important.
Of course.
Of course. But yeah, so you go to the podcast app on Apple on iPhones or to the Google Play Store in the non-iPhone phones like Samsungs and things like that. And you just go to podcasts and you write in Sacramento Bishop's Hour. And you click subscribe, and you're not going to get emailed or bothered by anything. It just, all it does is it will cultivate, or I don't know what the right word would be, curate, I guess, all of our episodes. So when you do click back on that, it'll tell you which ones you haven't listened to yet.
Yeah, and that word subscription scares some people.
It does.
It's a free subscription, and it's a subscription that comes with no strings attached. Nobody's going to contact you or say, "Ah, we see that you subscribe to this. You must be interested in this."
We will not call you and tell you that you have to, your car's warranty is coming up or any of that stuff. No, it's not going to happen. No, we will not reach out to you.
You subscribe just to gain access to it.
Right, yeah. Right. It is a very one-sided relationship we'll have with you. Yeah. We will talk and you get to listen.
The only goal of that subscription is to give you the opportunity to listen to the program.
Exactly. And the more you listen, the more people subscribe. What that does is the dreaded algorithm word. Algorithms will get formed throughout the podcast apps that you use, and those apps will the people who run the apps, let's not give AI all the credit. The people who run the apps will then go, "Oh, people are really listening to this podcast." And other people who also enjoy this Catholic podcast or this Catholic podcast might enjoy it as well. And then they will sort of offer it up to them when they go looking for a podcast.
Right.
Like, cause you can type in the name of the show, or you can also type in Catholic podcast or religious podcast, and they'll suggest ones to you that other people like.
Right.
So if you do that, then people will hear ours, and then that will mean people will get more understanding of what's going on here in Sacramento, get to hear more from our bishop, get to hear more from Bob, get to hear more from all the guests we have on. So it helps our diocese out in that way.
Yeah, and this is such a vast diocese. It's wonderful to have it where people can go on their computer. If maybe you're out of range of the radio station, you don't necessarily have, or you don't have that time, 9 p.m. Or 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings, you don't happen to have that time.
Right.
You can find it. You can find an old show. You can say, "Oh, I heard there was something on, or somebody from our home parish was on," and we try to. And we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you in Alturas and Red Bluff and Susanville and Vallejo and Elk Grove and every place else.
So many cities, can't try to remember which
all
ones.
All up into Tahoe area.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's
everywhere.
Everywhere. Wairika and Happy Camp. We want to hear from you. And
all you happy campers.
Yeah. And there's so much happening in this diocese, and it's so diverse. And we try to be attuned to all parts of the diocese, but we want to hear from you. If something's going on in your parish, something's going on in your school there, or just somebody in your community that's doing some great work in your community, we want to hear about them, and we'd love to feature them here on the Bishop's Hour.
Or a lot of times too, when you have a large hub of a, you know, an organization or whatever that's in the same large city, it becomes easy to talk about the city itself what goes on. Like a lot of people who live in the outskirts of New York probably get annoyed that everyone talks about New York and they think of just one thing.
Right.
Where there's a giant state, you know, that's connected to it. And yes, we are the Sacramento Diocese. We broadcast out of Sacramento. The city of Sacramento is where our offices are, but our diocese is a very vast diocese.
When we say Sacramento, we mean the whole diocese.
Yeah,
we mean
the whole diocese.
To the Oregon border, to the Pacific Ocean, to the Nevada border.
Yeah, so don't think just because I'm in Wairika, they're not going to care. Yeah. No, yeah, we do. We want to hear about it. Red Bluff, all of it.
To the San Joaquin County line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if it's something you want to get on the air, then don't hesitate to call us at 916-733-0107. That's 916-733-0107. Leave a message for me. That's my inside line as the producer, and I will call you back. I call everybody back.
And you can go on the diocesan website, scd.org, and find all the contact information for Gabe Sorensen, our producer, and for me, the host, your phone numbers, email. So if you just a personal message, if you want to send a personal message, maybe you have a comment, maybe you have a concern, maybe you heard a show and and you want to know more about it. Maybe you want to know more about the Graduate School of Philosophy and Theology in Berkeley. Shoot me an email, and yeah. I'll get right back to you. I pride myself on being promptly answering emails.
Or you just want to tell us how great we are. I mean, we love those too. Yeah. And those are always fun.
Yeah. So thanks, Gabe. Yeah. So again, scd.org, and you can find all the information about the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
I feel burning deep inside of you're